Okay. Perchvi. Misha also Kurdikos, which is some sort of disease, where apparently you lose your sanity to a certain degree. The Amar Kiss we get the Ishti Law or Club. It's not considered a Mendas when he has Kurdikos, and therefore even if it says Kiss we get the Ishti, it is likewise, if you already said kids would get Lishti, and then you got a Kurdikos, you said not to, so it's not a Mendas, his cancellation is not valid, and you can still write a get. We'll have to see the details of it next week. Agav the Rosh Ben Shut asks, based on the last parak, why doesn't it say Kisvu Utnu? Why only Kisvu? After all, didn't we see in the last parak that a Bari who says Kisvu doesn't count? Say Kisvu Utnu. So the Rashba says the real answer is that Lav Dafka, last parak, was dealing with how many words he had to say, and this parak is dealing with Kordaikos and he's not getting into it, and you can't expect one parak to go through all the details that were discussed in another parak. And when he said Kisvu, he meant Kisvu Utnu. The Rashba, the Shud, suggests he thinks that's a real answer. He says, it's just for Dharmadira, if you want to, you can say another answer that maybe the point is that, in the second line here, that he felt that Kurdikos was about to overtake him. And therefore, when he said Kisvu, and then the Kurdikos came, he knew he was about to be sick. I have no idea. I've never had Kurdikos. Probably not sure exactly how to say Kurdikos in English either. And if anyone here has ever had Kurdikos, but it could be that you have a premonition that Kurdikos is about to come, and therefore he's considered like a Mesukan, because he knew he's about to get Kurdikos, and someone who's in danger, someone who's ill, just kiss from counts, as we saw in the last paragraph. And he says that's not his real answer, his real answer is Lav Dafka. Interestingly, the Ksav Sofa here says that he thinks. You know, often the Mishnah, when it has two lines, one line can just be parallel to the other line. He thinks the reason that the second line says Kisvu is because the first line had to say Kisvu. The Misha Afsu Kurdikos from a Kisvu Gedla Ishti Lomer Klum to teach us that you might, if it had said Kisvu Utnu, you would have thought, you know why it's no good if he doesn't have Das? Because you can't command to give a get if you don't have Das. Because giving a get can only be done B'Shlichus Aval. But you wouldn't necessarily have known that writing the get has to be Bir Shlichus Habal. Therefore, it starts with, it emphasizes only Kisvu here, not to the second line, because Kisvu is good enough if he's a Ben Das. For the first line, if he's not a Ben Das, not only is the Nesina possible, even the Ksivas possible, because you need Shlichus, or something like Shlichus, as we discussed before, Ksivas Haget. Okay, those three have figured as to how to explain the word Kisvu, this mission, in light of the last parent. Continuing the mission, the shtatek, if he became mute because of his illness, or Amr Law, see exactly why, next week, Nifto get the Ishcha, they asked him, should we write a get for here, Kibro, so he nodded, yes, both of those social, I mean, Amr Law, Lava, Elhain, Hain, Aray, Leave, we did check him three times, is if he nods correctly for the yes, and correctly for the no's, then we see he knows what he's talking about. He's a Mendas, and we listen to his nod, and we divorce his wife. Okay, we'll come back to the halachic parts next week. The Gemara is my Kurdikos. What is this Kurdikos? Amar Shmuel Dinachti Chamrachad, he's bitten, meaning it doesn't mean literally bitten. He was in some disease, he fell, was drank a new wine, which apparently could be dangerous. The Matzarta that just came out of the wine press. The listing is Nashkol Yain Chadash. So why doesn't it just say Nashkol Yain Chadash? Why use this funny Greek-sounding word Kurdikos? Kamashal and Daruchah Kurdikos. He's teaching you that this spirit is called Kurdikos. Lamai Nafkamina. What's the Nafkamina? Likmiya. That if you need to write an amulet against it, you can't say Nashkol Yain Chadash. That's just a description of how it happens. You need to know amulets. You need to know the name of the enemy. So therefore, the name of the evil spirit that causes this disease is Kurdikos. My Susi, how do you heal it? Bisra Sumka Agumri. Rash says Sumka, little it's red. Rash says means lean meat on roasted straight on the coals, Bechambra, Marka, and diluted wine. Amar by Amar Game of Ice, as my mother told me, although in a few places Rashi says it means perhaps it's nursemaid, because she was an orphan at a young age. L'shim shabas yoma, if you have a fever just that day, kuzah demaya, drink one kuz of water. L'shim shah, bas trei yomi, if it lasts for 2 days, sikure, and you should have bloodletting. Bas flasi yomi, 3 days, b'sosum kagure, have this lean meat roast in a cold chamar market, the wine, that's what you put up here. It's the same, 3 days, the same cure as Kurdikos, the Shimsha Tikta, if it lasts a long time, Lacey Tarnagoto, Masi, bring a black chicken, Balikri Shesva Erev, and tear it open with crisscross, Ligachim celebration, and shave the middle of his head, Velosvi Loy, put the chicken where you X, cut it as an X on his head. Ad the cholish al ilavei until he is very very weak. Velimod velosvi only v'ninchei la'adim yisrach until it sticks there. Linchos v'leka mamaya ad tzavarei, and then he should go to the water up to his neck. Ad the cholish al ilavei until he's very weak. Velimod velislik, he should swim a little and then come out. Velisev and sit below. And if he can't do this for some reason, leka v'karte, he should press. Velinchos v'leka, and he should sit down and get, he should go down to Lake of Mayan Savari and he should stand up to his neck in water. Same thing. Lashimsha, if someone has a fever, bis for some kagore, like we mentioned earlier, the Chamar Marka, but the Talib, if someone's too cold, then the opposite, bis for Shmena. Fatty meat, gore, also on the cold, with Chamar Chaya and undiluted wine. Okay, this is then to get into a tangent of a story based on this this disease, but that's not the end of the medical advice. Basically, we get into a story, come back to, and then an agata about Shlomo Melech. But then on some Chesun Beis, they continue with the medical advice. If you look on the middle, the fifth last line on the Sama Chesun Beis, they continue. They just got to go tangent, but they're not done with medical advice. This is, if I'm not mistaken, the longest medical sugya in Shas, right? From some of Zayin and Beis all the way to the top of Daf Ayin and Beis is all medical advice. Let's just see how it continues. Fifth to last line on some of Kesef and Beis. Was the end of Dama Dereisha. Someone has blood in their head. Lekse Shervina, Bina Va'asa, Dara, V'zeisa, V'chofa, V'chofi, V'yama, V'gavlo. You take all the species, V'shpina, V'al, V'dud, and cook them together. Lint on plasma kase haiki sederesha, plasma kase haiki sederesha, and pour 300 cups of it on one side of the head and 300 cups on the other side. The loaf, can't do this, lazy bar, the chibber, the kaib chadora, get a white rose that's all the leaves are in one row, of lishlake, and cook it, lint on shisa kase haiki sederesha, shisa kase haiki sederesha, pour 60 cups on each side of the head. Litz lichta, pour a, if half your head hurts, lazy tarigota, bara, take a wild chicken. The lishlim zuz chibra and shecht it with a silver coin, obviously sharp. First, a hau gisa and shecht it on top of the half of your head, the kai plate that hurts. If it is a redundant lishlim, I didn't get the blood to drip on your head, but be careful it doesn't get in your eyes so it will not blind you. The lishlim safe base, and then you're not done with the chicken, hang it on the door of your house, so that you rub against it when you come in and when you come out, etc. Okay. Where we get to complete medical education and we all get our MDs. There's a few interesting questions that come up because again, all of Daf Samach Tes, all of Daf Ayin and Aleph, up to the first few lines of Ayin and Beis is all more medical advice. So there's a few questions that come up. One of them is that at some point in history, they discovered that these cures don't actually work so well. Why don't these cures work? After all, didn't Chazal know what they were talking about? So here we have a very, very fundamental machloka. Did Chazal know what they were talking about, or did they not know what they were talking about? Obviously, they knew what they were talking about, but on a certain level. And here we have a fundamental machlokas. And if they knew what they were talking about, why doesn't it work? Should we be doing this? I'm sure there's someone out there somewhere who still does everything it says in this Gemara, but I have not found this in the mainstream post. Rebbe Akiva Eiger on the Shulchan Aruch down. It's usher to do any of the rufus of the Gemara. Don't recall. But why don't we do it? As a matter of fact, the Maharil says that we're not allowed to do any of these refus from the Gemara. Also, the Nasa, some of you are allowed to try them. And the Maharshal, the Yom Shoshol, goes even further and says, Chayrim HaKadmonim, she lists the refus of Hala. It's a Chayrim from the old days that you're not allowed to do the refus in the Gemara. But why? So here we have three shitas. The Maharil says, say for Maharil, Omer Lani Mari Sigal, Sigal, Mari Sigal is the Maharil. This is written by the Talmidim. Kikol Arefus al Chashim called Talmud also Naso, some Mishum the Ein Adam Yachal Labor Ali Karam. Because you don't really know what they mean. It's very hard to, you know, I read a lot of things. First of all, we don't know exactly what the species are. I mean, they're a pre-Rishon. But often it's about Rashi and the Orach argued about a lot of species. We don't know exactly what they meant, how to pour the cups on the head, etc. There's a lot that we're not familiar with because when they wrote it, people understood the way they used the words in those days. And it's been a long time. We don't necessarily understand what they mean. And therefore, people denigrate the Chachamim, but it doesn't work. But really, it does work. Just we don't understand if we lived at their time and we understood their slang, etc., it would work. Since we don't understand exactly the words, meaning we'll do something they didn't mean, and then of course it won't work, and we'll make fun of the Chachamim for no reason, except he says that there is one lachash incantation in the Sechah Shabbos, which the Maharil said for sure works. I guess he did his experiments. It seems a little strange. But other than that, says the Maharil, we don't try it because it works, but we don't understand it. That is the sheet of the Maharil. However, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Maharshal says it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Says the Maharshal. Afli sheish chirin kadmonu shein lesno kofur sa talbud. Why? Kadesh lo tziklaz al chama kadmonu. Meaning, why would it be usher? Right? Meaning, why do they ask for it? Why not just say it doesn't work? It doesn't hurt. Right? Meaning, it's hard for you to imagine any doctor would say that it's dangerous to put chickens on your head. It looks a little funny, but I'm sure none of these things are bad for your health. So why would it be usher? So they say it's usher because it will reflect poorly on the Chachamim to do it. Because if you do it wrong and it doesn't work, then people denigrate the Chachamim. So that's what the Marshal says. It's usher to not to lose laws on Chazal. But why does it work? No, because different times and places are different. What worked in one time and place doesn't work in another time and place. Shador spokes in Mahokin. We were shown Kandakan on Tushim that we're not the drag of the earlier earlier Chachamim. Yamash is Shurukos Kulon Shlichaitu, also all the demons, the Shadim are we don't have nowadays anymore, Zugos no mayhem, etc. And then he says, okay, those things they told you to watch out for, it's always good to watch out for it. And then it's not a big deal, you just don't do something, but you shouldn't do anything because he doesn't use this phrase, but nishtanu ha-tavayim, because the teva has changed, things change from their days to our days. It worked in their days, but it doesn't work in our days, because a lot of things depend on the environmental circumstances, and where he doesn't mean only, I don't think he means only physical. He also says the shadim they had in those days, we don't have in our days. Okay, things change about the world, and they were 100% right. But the world has changed. That's what's called Lishtana Teva. What's the makor of the Marshal Lishtana Teva? The makor is Tosos in a number of places. Tosos loves saying Lishtana Teva. In one place, he specifically says it about our sukkah, about refuos, the medical advice of the Gemara. In Moikat Daf Yalav Amud Aleph, he deals with the question of when is the best time to eat fish. And the Gemara says the best time to eat fish is right before it spoils. And he says that actually nowadays we see that right before it spoils, it already has bacteria. We didn't know the word bacteria, but it's really not healthy to eat it. And he says, no problem. Okay, maybe, or then he says that maybe it depends on the place. It only applied to Babel, but he says maybe it's different. After all, none of the refuos and shas work nowadays. because the world has changed. So Nishtana HaTeva. So those are the two. Those are so far two pshatim. One that it still works now, at least theoretically. Just we don't know exactly what they meant by it. My real one that it works then, but it doesn't work now. So here we say, does it effective? Then is it effective now? Everyone agrees you shouldn't do it. Yeah, I've found the classic svarim and the most accounts of it are someone said you should do it. I'm sure there's some reservoir somewhere nowadays who does everything it says in the Gemara, but I haven't found it in the svarim. Says the Maharil, it worked in their days, and theoretically it would work nowadays, but we don't understand the instructions. Says the Tosfos and the Maharshal, it worked in those days, but it doesn't work nowadays because Nishtana Hateva, things changed in nature, you know, both, you know, it's a little unclear. The Marshal also points out we don't have shaded toast in a few places, said we don't have most of the shaded bar nowadays. Or obviously, our whole lifestyle is different, our nutrition, everything is different.
So when do they think that it changed?
What? How are they supposed to know? It changed between then and now.
How is
Tulsa supposed to know? It changed between the Gemara and Tulsa's. How is Tulsa supposed to know when it changed? Tulsa doesn't know exactly what the environment was like, being physically, being mystically, every year in between. He just knows it changed. Okay.
Would you assume that it changed also from the time of Matan Torah till the time of Chazal? That some things might have changed then too?
Maybe, I don't know, because we don't really have a lot of the medical advice in the time of Matan Torah, so we don't know how to hear it.
Right, so that would indicate that perhaps Chazal should have said this is the current reality, because it's changed even from their time to from Matan Torah.
They were talking about their world. Maybe it was obvious to them that people would keep track of changes. Nothing. So Tosus doesn't say this about halachic obligations, because halachic obligations are not based on reality. Halachic obligations are based on the halacha, right? That's not halacha is not teva, halacha is law, right? So,
but what about things like the advice?
So I don't know. It's a good question, and Tosus doesn't get into it. Okay, great question.
What are the things about it now?
Unless they had a Masora from the time when there was no Shinai Teva, but you're right. According to my real, it's easier to say they had this, you know, Masora from our Sinai. It never changes, just we don't understand. Like, we don't understand a lot of things. Like the Rambam always says, Shavuot Arvin up and keep it everything. According to the Marshal, it probably changed every millennia, etc. Okay, Bob.
There's an assumption that these cures have come about. Maybe not, but just that was really strong in this.
So it's a great question. Meaning, how do they know these cures? How do they know this? They knew this from the doctors. They knew this from Sora Shem Lireya. They knew this from Sora. It could very well be. We don't know. The Mariel and the Tos and the Marshal, we don't know how they knew it.
So this was discovered.
But they're assuming Chazal can't be wrong. That's their assuming. Chazal can't be wrong. That's their assuming. But the other option, give me a second, Sam, then.
Yeah, I was going to say, this doesn't have to apply to every piece of advice they give. It's going to be the more individual piece of advice. Shade them, repeat it. Or that happens.
I don't know. You're dealing with your practical medical knowledge. So maybe their practical medical knowledge was a little different. As a matter of fact, even nowadays, that's because you only hold from traditional medicine.
No, I'm saying like non-Jewish medical doctors.
Why not? Why do you think Shadim are Jewish? I don't know. I never checked. I'm not sure you don't have a crispy look. Okay. But what does Shrugon say? There's a letter they discovered from a Shrugon. It's printed in the Ultragon over here. It's actually many, many pages long. This this letter from a Shrugon. I brought the whole thing. Page 152 to 159. 8 pages long. Or 7 pages long. Sorry, to the middle. The letter from Shrugon. And they asked him, Lamechta v'chon hani asvasa d'mish asu perdaikos ben rabbi shmuel ad sok mastisin. Write to us all of the refuos from her mish asu perdaikos from where it says rabbi shmuel until the next Mishnah. Heyach kiblu. How do you probably kiblu? It's unclear what that word means. That might mean how you write it, or some people might sling for an ambulance in their days. And interpret it to us in what's Lashon Hagrim? In Arabic, right? Because Arabs are Yishma'ilim and Yishmael comes from Hagar, so it's called Lashon Hagrim. Lashon Hagrim translates to Arabic because in the days, the later days of the Gaonim, they didn't speak Arabic. They all spoke Arabic in the days of the later Gaonim. And our true homes on the later Gaonim. So, what does the verse Shrugon say as the Hakdama before he translates all to Arabic, which is not terribly helpful to me? But he says, Shrugon Lomay Marlachon, I have to tell you, Rabban Lavas Vasigon. You know, the rabbis weren't doctors. The Milan Ba'alma, they were just some words, because he was running them based on their times. I mean, they weren't writing anything that was Masora, that was a Sora Shem Libreya, that has any deep truth to it. They weren't even expert doctors. They were just writing what the doctors in their times told them. You can imagine, like nowadays, I mean, nowadays, rabbis don't write medical books because there are other books in the world, you know, but you can imagine nowadays, the only book in the world was, you know, books written by Rosh Hashanah Orbach. He would have asked his doctor friends and written what they said in a book so the Jews would know it. Okay, chad tzira amurinan. Again, it's not clear what this phrasing, so it sounds like, based on one sick person, they all saw everything that worked for one sick person. They were fit. The lottery mitzvah, you know, they're not a mitzvah. Helkach lotispon al ilan asfasa. Therefore, don't rely on these medicines. For lekdav and holy dam, and you shouldn't do any of that. Elabas admit that in the bavada not through bekiyada ibilso lo meikla. You shouldn't do any of it unless check with expert doctors to make sure it at least doesn't hurt. Velekdalas in after this, I kind of won't be dangerous. Meaning. Check with the doctor that at least it's not dangerous. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You never know. But check with your doctor first. So this is what they taught us. Others Sabi Gilana and our forefathers told us. Don't do any of these the medicines. This, I guess, is the earliest marker for not doing them. Here he says not doing the Elamai Isay from Kibla to Kimla down to other the best acts except. Amulets, etc., that you know won't hurt. Kulo milo tzuchin lefrushe, the time of life was moon and mean the chazinu da amikim aleichan hasam. And I'm not going to explain all of it, just the parts that are hard. And then he translated the hard parts into Arabic. What does he say? He says that there's nothing special about the medical advice in Chazal. They just wrote what seemed to them in their days. And you shouldn't expect them to be correct. They were just doing the best they can in their days. That's also the shita of Rabbi Noah Ben Arambam, who has a famous mimer about Agatas, which is printed in the beginning of the traditional Ein Yaakov, meaning the book of Parshim. They print at the beginning the mimer of Rabbi Ben Arambam Ben Agata, and most of the mimers Ben Agata. Gatos into different categories and explains what they're all about. But sort of as an agav, in the very beginning, he says, let me tell you about the non-halachic parts of Shas. And he starts with Rufus. And then he says some harsh words. He says, anyone who wants to, you know, say pun. Wants to show favoritism as it were, Kabbal Dai to Leon, except what someone says without Ian Bono, Leon also does have a black checking it's true. Zemina Dios arose, that is an evil trait. It's against the Torah and against logic to just believe people without checking that what they say is true. Says it's against Seichel, okay, it's obvious why it's against Seichel, it's against Torah because you're leaving the path of truth, which is Torah, and the Torah says not to show favoritism. And then he says, And therefore, even the great madrigas of the Chachamim and their shleimus in explaining the Torah and their correctness in explaining both the Kol and Prat of the Torah, nonetheless, it's not Prat. We should not believe them about everything about medicine and science. And we shouldn't trust them like we do about Torah. Because the Chachmah Torah is in their hands. And Hashem authorized them to teach us Torah. But when they taught us Refuah, they had no special Chachmah or special authorization of the Torah. And therefore, it's just their opinion. And then he continues. He gives some examples of medicine in the Gemara that doesn't work. And then in the end, he brings one advice that does work. He says the one thing that for sure works is if you're hungry, eat. If you're thirsty, drink. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you should go to the bathroom right away. Okay, that's good advice. Other than that, he's not so sure. Basically, what Rav Avraham ben Rambam and Rav Shrugon are saying is that when the Chacham gave the refuels, they had no special sources of information that you and I don't have. They had no special, they had special emes in Torah, but they had no special access to emes and refuels. And therefore, they might have been right, they might have been wrong. If modern day science proves them wrong, then they are wrong. So it doesn't mean nothing they said is right. Obviously, they could have gotten things right, but not necessarily. Let's just call it. They were wrong then about some things they were wrong about. They were wrong now, and that's not a pagan because it's not part of the Torah. And they were just trying to teach us medicine. They weren't trying to teach us Torah, and therefore, there's no reason to listen to them any more than to listen to anyone else who lived 1,500, 2,000 years ago who gives us advice, some of which is still valid, some of which isn't. And the only way to tell is to examine it scientifically. This is based on the Rambam. I don't know where the Rambam specifically deals with the sugya straight on of the Rambam in the Gemara, but the Rambam does say, Yor Nebuchim, Chelik Gimel, Lof Yadalit, that you should not expect the science of Chazal to be correct because they were based on the science of their times, and the science of their times was not yet perfected and not yet properly developed. So that's certainly where his son got this idea from, and he got it from the Gaonim. There is, you know, a very serious tradition among the Gaonim of a rationalism that goes much further than this. In the Gaonim, which was where Rambam got his Masorah from, passed that on to his son. So basically we have three shitas. Either there's not really significant, there's never significance to it. They were just writing, you know, in the Gemara, there's a combination of two things. There's the Masorah and the Torah, and they've also thrown other things which could be useful based on the best guess they have in the signs of their times, but there's no special yichus. Or no, maybe they're automatically right, just we can't apply it nowadays if it's Neshtama HaTema, or they're automatically right, and they're still right nowadays. We just can't do it nowadays because lost our bikias in understanding their words.
According to the Maharal, is this right reserved exclusively for the Gemara or the rabbis in the Gemara? Or let's say there's a rabbi who came out of it.
I'm going to assume it's only Chazal. Chazal is special status. That's what I'm going to assume. I can't speak for the Maharal, but that's what I'm going to assume. Give me a second. Okay. It's not just a modern guy. Big post. It was Rav Steinman. Ayala Hashachar. Right, that's Rav Steinman, right?
Yes.
So that's his Rosh Tevos. Oh, yeah. Okay. So give me a second, then. Though, this brings up a very interesting question, which is, apparently, the story like this. The Chashukei Chemet is very good. Here, he brings down a story that once, I guess, when Rav Chaim Kanievsky was younger, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky's his brother-in-law, right? The Chashukei Chemet is written by Rav Yitzchak Silberstein, who married the daughter of Rav Yashiv, and Rav Kanievsky also married a daughter of Rav Yashiv, so they were brothers-in-law. So he said once that when Rav Chaim was young in yeshiva, they skipped the first three dafim of Mishnah Asur Kritikus, and when he went home to his father, the Stifler, he was upset. And he said, okay, we have to make it up at home, and he learned these three dafim. So I guess the beginning of Mishnah Asur Kritikus, Rav Chaim Kanievsky learned better than the rest of Shas. He learned it straight from his father, the Stifler. But that's an interesting question. So I've heard that the name of Rav Schechter, who said that, let's say you skip these dafim of Mishnah Asur Kritikus, and then you get to Daf Tzadi, right? And it's the 9 days you want to make a siyum, have a barbecue, no problem. You can make a siyum without these dafim because they're not really Torah. And it's just medical advice that they threw in, but it's not part of the Gemara. It's just some medical advice they threw in, and you don't have to learn that. Before you can see them have a barbecue, even if you skip these dafim. Okay, I guess that's what they held in the yeshiva. That I don't know which yeshiva or anything else he learned as a kid. I was a little ago. I guess that's what they held there also, because they skipped it. Or maybe it was just a regular little fish yeshiva where, like the rest of us, they only use him body or nameless, so, you know, they want to pick the right ones.
That's a fascinating question.
Is there, like, you know, should we be doing, should I have read these lines of the Gemara? Right? Is it a mitzvah Talmud Torah to learn these parts of the Gemara? Or is it a mitzvah Torah to learn these parts of the Gemara after all? You know, we wouldn't learn, I don't know, would you open any other medical book from thousands of years ago and read it? Maybe, I guess it was for Parnassa, and you were a historian, and you need to publish your parish, let's say. But normally, we'd consider that mitzvah Torah, right? Name if you want to read medical advice nowadays. So it's okay. It's a mitzvah, neshmak mol nafshu secha. But why would you read outdated medical advice? Meaning, mimonim shach. All the svarim that I found say you shouldn't do it. So if we're learning Masechet Zavim and we're not going to do it, so it's a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But to learn medicine that you're not going to do, what's the point? It's a great question. You know, and it was easier in the days, this question was easier in the days of Chazal. There's a great story in Masechet Shabbos. Masechet Shabbos. Daf, sorry. Pepe's at the top. Amarly Rafuna Larabba Bray said to his son, my time she is coming to Rav Chisda, Mechanish might say, why aren't you learning by Rav Chisda, who's very sharp in all the sukkahs? Amarly, why should we go to Rav Chisda Shir? Tiazli Lagabe Muslim Alme. I went to Shir and he just talked about secular stuff. Why want to go to Shir? Amarly, and you know what he told me? When you go to the bathroom, you shouldn't sit down right away very fast. You shouldn't push too hard. Because the karkashta, the some sort of muscle in the anus is only resting on three connections. They'll come loose and it'll break off. Us in the sakana, it'll be a terrible sakana. But yeah, I went to Shir and he just taught me medical advice, so I'm not going to miss it with the Torah. Amale, who also chayit briyasa. What are you talking about? The lives of people. So in life and death. Va'atar mil yaman, you call that mil yaman, you call that spouse secular stuff. What do you mean? He's talking about like your life. That's very, very important. Koshkei zilagabe, even more so, you should be, even more than church that it's not part of Shikodin. So what did Rav Huna say to Ravabharata says, and Rav, it's more important to learn medicine than to learn Gemara, than to learn halachas. Okay, obviously, I don't think that means that you should never learn halachas, just go to medical school and not learn, you know, the thoughts. What he meant is that it's very important to know life and death, because it's not called enough to say it's kind of suffocious. That makes a lot of sense if you assume that that's practical medical advice. Then it's high debrius. But nowadays, when in less van de Pollen, that, I don't know if it was a mitzvah Talmud Torah, not a mitzvah, less van de Pollen, that it was important to learn these dabim in the time of the Gemara, because that was cutting edge modern medical advice. And you had to know how to preserve your health. But what about nowadays? Is there a mitzvah Talmud Torah to learn these things, or is there not a mitzvah Talmud? Is there value to these dabim? Or should we just, you know, we wouldn't cut them out of shops just because we don't want to mess up the page numbers, but cut them out of our curriculum. And apparently, I've heard in the name of our very own Rav Schechter, again, I don't know anyone else hear this, just me, that day you should skip them. And apparently, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is in yeshiva. Maybe they thought you should skip them. What is the other, what's the other side? Nah.
Okay. No, if Ravina Rabashi put it in the Gemara, it's Torah.
Okay, so this is an interesting question. Is there value in learning the refuos of the Gemara? So in that Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, that already makes the Achronim intrigued. They say, okay, what does this mean for us? So Rav Steinman brings down the Ayelus HaShachar there. He says obviously it's not a mitzvah Talmud Torah to just stand learn medicine, meaning even useful medicine. It's a different mitzvah, not a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Then he says something interesting. Once it's in the Gemara, it becomes part of the Torah. The Achashin Nifta the Talmud Nasa Torah. Whatever's in the Gemara becomes a Chefta Shel Torah, and even though before they wrote it in the Gemara, meaning before Avinu Rashi wrote the Gemara, it wasn't Torah, but now that it's in the Gemara, it became Torah. And he brings a Raya for this from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish did not talk about Refuos, but he said that when the Rambam wrote down the astronomy, the Greek astronomers, in the Mishnah Torah, right, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, until the Rambam put it in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, it was just Greek science. Once the Rambam wrote in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, now it's Torah. Because whatever's in the Rambam is Torah. Okay, I don't know how many people get that privilege, but the Gemara and the Rambam, at least. Good brisker. Not like Chazon Ish, the brisker. I want to examine this a little more. You know, why should it be just, like, is it magic? Just because it's written the Gemara becomes a Chetzah Shel Torah? I can maybe understand. If Abaye said a pshat in Mitzvah's Lulav and it's written in the Gemara, that becomes part of the Torah. While some shot you think of that silly doesn't become part of the Torah. Okay, that's because the Gemara wrote down the important, valid pigmentation of the Mitzvahs. Just quality control. Anyone has their ideas about halacha, might be false. If the Gemara wrote it, then it has true value and it's about the Torah. But just because someone wrote medical advice in the Gemara, why does that make it Talmud Torah? So we have to think about it. You know, how about the value of learning? Reish Perek, Misha Achzom, Kordaikas, for example. Which again, I'm pretty sure is the most document of Refuah in the Gemara, you could say. There's no value. Or, says the Ayelus HaShachar, it became a Chefta Shel Torah, as it were. Now, I'm not sure what he means there. Like, it became a Chefta, because it was written in the Gemara, it became a Chefta Shel Torah, just spam, the Gemara magically turned into a Chefta Shel Torah, or is there more we can say? Let's think about that. Let's leave that for a moment. Or maybe not.
The example of the Chazon Ish. Let's give it a shot. Okay, so the Greek calculations are a good enough approximation for the picture. So the Rambam brought Greek science and put that through law.
You're saying, right, but it's still scientifically true. Not that I've checked the Rambam Kish Chodesh against modern astronomy, but okay. They're good enough for most purposes. Right. But what about the fact? I mean, that we can still use for Kiddush HaKodesh. So that's, you're saying it's not such a good right for the Kaddish. That taka we can still use for no Kiddush HaKodesh. Now you might say, why do I need to know how to do Kiddush HaKodesh? I have a calendar. Okay. But that's true of all of halacha, that I don't necessarily need to do it, but I could, if I needed to know what Kiddush HaKodesh was, I could use that.
I suppose the Rambam had to use for another example of Greek science, which is wrong. And there are many things that the Rambam used in Greek science that are wrong. Then would that have been a color as
right.
well? Because it's in English?
So I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know what he holds about whether they were right or they were wrong.
I'll give you an example from one of the books. Well, he likes the magnitude. In one of the courses you gave us, free Maxwell and Faraday. Maybe many people believe that, but we know for sure that it's
yeah.
wrong.
Okay, let's think about that. Okay, let's.
The Das Torah and everything in the world or not, that if you hold it in the Das Torah, whatever Chachamim you say, that's Das Torah. That fits this. If they said it and put it in the Gemara, then it's it. Or maybe not.
Right. Look, really, this is very much an issue of Das Torah. If you're going to Rambam and Rambam say, what did someone tell me once? They asked for Shlomo Fisher if he believes in Das Torah. And he answered, Ladata Titrama Ot Chashuv. whether you believe in Das Torah or not is a very poor question to ask, because you know there's 13,000 different ways of defining it, 6,500, the other 6,500. But the point is, were they always right about about secular studies, as it were? So that's exactly the machlokas here. Tosas of the Shalimar real assume they were always right about secular studies, but for some reason it doesn't apply nowadays. Either to the us or the world, while the Rambam clearly is more red. You know, I didn't put on the cover sheet. It wasn't the Rambam. But the Mora in Gimel Yadalit says, don't expect their science to be right. The science of their times was not as advanced as the science of our times. Obviously, the science of the Rambam's times was not as advanced as the science of the 21st century. And probably our science is not as advanced as science in 100 years from now. That is a great question. Let me just point out for a second, the Ragachover in a tshuva, as usual, I don't understand exactly what it means. Maybe someone else here does. But someone asked him, Al Dvar her Fuos on his cars Bashas? And he answers something very strong to the relation. He says, he named Fuos on his car with Mars and Gedder, Kanak Manatorshval Path, part of Torshval Path, a Masulon of the Kabbalah. Part of the Torah Shmal Pad, that is our Mesorah. And then he says that some of the Sefer Fuos that Chizkiyahu HaMelech confiscated. And then he says, and it's very halacha l'maisa. After all, the rules of movement of a Bechor all depend on medical science, and the rule of Sris Kamal and Yidibam depend on medical science, and the rule of Kroshachat to Adaka. Depend on medical science, and that's why Rav spent 6 months with the shepherd learning all about Bechor. So what? Now again, I'm not sure exactly. Kedarka Rakodesh, and definitely it's a din in me, not him. I never understand exactly what the Rosh Hashanah is trying to say. Okay, it's even also a din in him that he wasn't always so clear. He was clear in his head. But he wasn't always so clear in his head. But he says no, it's Torah because it's all halacha l'maisa. It all has nafkaminas in halacha l'maisa. We don't go through Mishav Sukerdikos and explain the nafkaminas halacha l'maisa. But I assume you would say there's also nafkaminas halacha l'maisa for that. So now here it gets a little tricky. So says the Tzafas Paneach. He says, he says, yes, because there's nafgaminas in halacha l'maisa. But of course, that makes me sh'och sochur daikas a bit of a tzarchiyah. Because if we can't do it nowadays, either because we don't understand it or because times changed, certainly if it's because they were wrong, then I'm assuming there's not nafgaminas halacha l'maisa tzarchiyah. Like, you know, I mean, literally, Sarkia, I'm not sure exactly what he meant, what he would have said about Mishav Sukhadaikas. I'm not even sure what he would have said about some of the other Sukhadaikas. Like, you know, should you update them? Should you not update them? Sarkh Ion, Alpi, Hanizkar, Lamala, meaning the fact that we don't do it nowadays. I need not talk about Mishav Sukhadaikas, so I can't tell you. It's not clear because then he talks. It's really not clear because then he talks about by Rotsaf. Mary looks what Saf says. You have to consult the contemporary doctors. And then he says by Bechor, you also have to know Teva. It's very unclear. And then he says later on, I don't know where he is. Teva also it's lingua ledin after shenimnu chachamim. Whether it becomes a din once the Chachamim vote on it, once it's mentioned the Shas, means the idea of the from Steinman, does Teva become din or does it not become din? Okay, I don't know exactly what to make of it. I know what to make of other people. Let me just throw out a few more shots if you'll allow me. Yeah.
Don't exist in Tzivos. We don't stop living.
Right, or even right. Remember, we learned in Christus what order did Moshe put the Gadim on Aaron and his sons in Bei Habiluim? And where it says, "Well, it's Nafkamina," and the Nafkamina is just to understand what happened halachically. Even though we're not going to do it again. Okay, fair enough. Interestingly. The Ben Yehoyada, that was Eliel Sashachar. The Ben Yehoyada there, who's the Ben Yehoyada, by the way? The Ben Ishchai. Right, you have many, many Sfarim, many that are from the same pasuk, right? When you open Yehoyada, Ben Ishchai. In the Ben Yehoyada, on that same Gemara and Masecha Shabbos, he takes a completely different approach. Says the, I actually discovered, I would have put on the first sheet, but I know that it's not in Bar Ilan, but it's down in Safaria, the menu yada. Good to you. Okay, exactly. Right there. He says, he asks a simple question. He says, come on, he doesn't understand the Gemara in the first place, even assuming all the medical advice is right. And maybe that medical advice is right. I'm not an expert going to the bathroom. You have to ask the proper doctors. Maybe they'll tell you 100% right according to modern science. It says, what's kol shekein that it's better to learn medicine than Gemara? What do you mean? Gemara is for olam halacha, for olam haba. Medicine is only for olam hazeh. So obviously, we all know that goch nefesh is doch shabbos, etc. But that doesn't mean it's better to learn medicine. Yeah, so you go to the doctor. It's better to learn medicine than to learn Torah. He says, what do you mean? Happen Ola Zeb? He calls Shekane better to learn than Ola Zeb Ola Abba. So, Nirulim Siyat Shmaya, that what he means that we miss, everyone else misunderstood. I wouldn't say everyone else but him, because there are plenty who agree with him. But many of them, unfortunately, misunderstood what Rav Huna said to his son Rava. He didn't mean Kol Shekane better to learn Rafua than Torah. What he meant is better to learn Rafua and Torah than just Torah. And what he meant is, and he's doing Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. And that's what he means, that Asik B'chai Debriyasa doesn't mean he's dealing with medical advice. It means he's dealing with our life, which it's Chayim HaMachzigen Ba. He's really talking about Torah. You just thought he'd go and talk medical advice. Medical advice and Torah. And therefore, Kol Shekein, if you have medical advice and Torah, and what he's trying to say is that all the medical advice in the Shas is really a mashal, has a hidden metaphorical meaning that are divrei Torah. Not that they didn't mean it as medical advice. It was also medical advice. The other ones are there. obviously meant as medical advice based on the science of their times, but they're more clever than you and me. They're more clever than you and me, and they could take authentic medical advice, the science of the times, and express it in a way that also taught, you know, moral or philosophical lessons based on the and they can do two things at once. And that's what he says. The Kolsh came, he cantarte, the Retorah Vagam, Derek Eretz, and there now has to say, basically, he says, okay, now that's like this far. And the rest of it is he has to go through, so he takes that medical advice to go up to the bathroom and explains. Obviously, there's only managed kinds of shot. Sure, he got it right. He's just trying to get the best shot he can. What he meant besides bathroom advice. And then he explains that Beisakise really means Olam Hazeh. Beisakise means Olam Hazeh, Miloshu Kese. It's a place where you have to go at a certain time, and which is ephemeral. Kesselim again, he says that Kes, a few places move like a certain time, you have to be in a certain place. And he says, therefore, when you go to Olam Hazeh, you should not behedya, you shouldn't be very quick, you shouldn't rush into Olam Hazeh. When it comes to Yoni Gashmias, you should not rush to them very quickly with alacrity, rather, you should do them with a certain degree of reluctance so as not to be too mired in the rat race, as it were, in the literal way. You shouldn't work too hard, right? Meaning, you shouldn't push in Yoni Gashmias, you should. How does he nowadays? You should be chill about. I know nowadays a lot of people are chill about halacha, and when it comes to your career, you're very high strung. And then you should be chill about you should be chill about finances, and because. And then he explains that the what is the karkashta and the plus shini says our world stands on three things: Torah, voda, bills, chasadim. Those are the three things that all the gashmius of the world stands on. And you know what? If you are too get too into the rat race and making money, etc., then you lose your Torah, Avodah, and Gilus Hachamer. And once you lose your Torah, Avodah, and Gilus Hachamer, then your whole life is in terrible spiritual danger. Okay, halavai, there would be a Ben Yoyada Mishavs and Gerdites. He doesn't say what he's going to do with the rest of Shas. And I don't know if I Ben Yoyada at home. I didn't find Mishavs so Gerdites. But I assume if he had gone for a parent, he would have said the same thing. He would have said, it's not that they were lying. They were telling you the medical advice of the times. But the anchor was not the medical advice they were telling you. That was just sort of a little double dipping of Yafet Talatar and Derek Eretz. The anchor is the hidden messages behind them. And I'm sure it gets, you know, even deeper than the, you know, this a pretty obvious sermon that, you know, any, you know, I don't know if anyone. Clever enough to tie into this Gemara, but a message that anyone can think of. I'm sure by the time he gets to Mishav Super Daikos, he'll find much deeper and more complicated and sophisticated messages that they're trying to teach us. But that's a whole approach, which is that the ick, it's only the outer lavush, which is medical advice. Inside is philosophical Torah advice, and therefore under that it's Talmud Torah. Although for it to be Talmud Torah, you might need to go deeper than we have gone. And I saw after I wrote through Koros, that this is all very foolish in the Ramchal. The Ramchal has a mimer al hahagados, a mimer about Agata, which is also printed at the beginning of many in Yaakov's. And he says that he says here, give me a second. He starts out saying that he's dividing classic Ramchal. He divides all of the Agatas, categorizes them, exactly what they're doing, exactly where they're coming from. And then he says at a certain point, should know a lot of philosophical secrets, mystical secrets. They say them in a metaphorical fashion through saying statements about teva and science and engineering. They use the contemporary science of their times as a mashal to teach deeper secrets of Torah. the scientific or engineering aspects is not the Iker. When they're telling you science, it's really a muscle for something deeper, and the science is not important. Not that they weren't telling you the true science of their times. No, he doesn't think they just wrote random things as a metaphor. He doesn't mean Aesop's fables. Just they made up a story about a fox as a metaphor. No, they told you the authentic science of their times, but the science was not what was important to them. To that, you could get without Chazal. What was important to them, Alasod Sharatu Lirmos, is that Yalkein lo Yosef lo Yigarol Amitis in Yirmos Heyos Halogosh HaMishli HaHor Shel Bishu Amiti Olo Yekabana Yisrael HaMish Sarohu Mashdi Kursim Dors Hain Dina Chachamim But also in Yatzer Yochel Islam Yisrael Shachar Kvim Kursim Dors HaChirem Mechina Imam Shosu Balo Samayimer Atzma Ilo Ayo Amor Sobu Dors HaHain. He says very cleverly, he says, therefore, it shouldn't bother you if they were wrong. Don't be bothered if Chazal were wrong about the science. Don't be bothered if all their medicine is nonsense. Because the Iker Kavana was not for the medicine. That was just a mashal for how they're teaching you the deep Sodos HaTorah. And he said, you know what? That same Amora, if he had lived in a different generation, would have found a way in the contemporary science of that generation to teach you the Sodos of the Torah. Okay? How would every generation find something in their science to teach you his Sodos? Because they were very clever, and they knew how to do these things. Okay, so what he's saying, basically, this is earlier than Ben Yom Yada, but this is the Ramchal Maimer al Hagados. It's on the Bryat Vashod of Bar Ilan. And again, it's printed in the edition of in Yaakov. In the Inyak Bolton first, at the beginning, they print like, you know, all the stolen throughout the generations, essays about the nature of Agata. Anyway, Kitzer, what does he say? He says the important thing is not the bush, that was just the bush. The important thing is the hidden meaning. So here, it's very poshut. If we take the Ben Yom Yada, sorry for going out of historical order, and the Ramchal. What do they say? Yes, because the Iker is the metaphorical meaning. And he's marviyah something else, the Ramchal. The Ramchal says, and now marviyah, if you say the older science was wrong anyway, he was a bit of a scientist, the Ramchal, very well educated, and he probably knew that according to the science of his times, which was more modern, the Rafu of Chazal's times was no longer valid. So it doesn't bother me. That's just the Levush. If the Levush is not valid, why do we care? It would be nice if it was. But that's the Tufel, not the Iker. If you lose the Tufel, then that shouldn't bother us because there's really an Iker. So I think according to both of them, it's super important to learn older Fus Nikbara, but I'll deny that you try to get the metaphorical meaning behind it. Which I don't know how to do, by the way. I'm sure someone else does. Oh, that's true. Okay, so usually they try to express their metaphorical ideas through rebuos, so they can copy up and tell their heritage and tell them. Sometimes they couldn't think enough of. Sometimes, I guess, they couldn't think of useful scientific information to science their times, so they just set up people. But he did after his father explained it to him. Yes, if you can. Obviously, if you can't, then it's Rechon Abad. Or I'll say if you just, you have no hadrach and you have no idea to get anything, you'd say, well, it's Rechon Abad. What are you supposed to do? But you have to try. And I'm sure they're smart. Again, I look, there's no Ben Yo Yada. There's no almost all Mepharshim on this. But I'm sure that someone who has a broader acquaintance with certain type of literature than I have can find new things. Now, I see what you're saying, meaning you could theoretically give it a status, even though you could give it a status to Hefza, even though since the government doesn't understand it. That's true, I admit. That, yeah. What do you mean by that? How do we know? Because we have Masora from Kadmonim and Masora from the Gaonim. Yeah. That's how we know. Okay, yeah, 1 second. Now, let me just ask, let me just try to be mimic a little more in the, in Steinman, perhaps, based on the Chashuki Chemet here. He wonders about this, like why the stipler bothered to learn these dapim with his son, and he makes 2 suggestions, which maybe we'll interpret a little, with a little latitude, if we can. First, he mentioned Mark Shocker. What does the Marshal here say? The Marshal here, he starts with a very technical question. His technical question is, it says in the Mishnah, in the end of the 4th parak of Masechet Pesachim, that there's a book of Refuos, and Chizkiyo HaMelech, he censored it, right? Why did he censor the book? Rashi says, so that people would turn to Hashem instead of doing what it says in this book. To enhance people's bitachon. Okay, a lot to be said about this. I am there in the realm of Kirsh Mishnayis. So the Marsha asks, hold on a second. If Chizkiyo HaMelech was against medicine, then how can we write it here? That's a very technical question. The Iyun Yaakov on the Ein Yaakov, if I'm not mistaken, on the Ein Yaakov is the what are we learning this year? Those of us learning Shabbos, not for us, but some of us are learning Hilchos Nida now, right? Some people in this room are learning Hilchos Nida. The Torah of Shlomo, right? You know the Torah of Shlomo, right? Can you move Dalet Amos without a Torah of Shlomo? No. Or if you're learning Yisra Behetra, the Minchas Yaakov, on the bottom of the Torah Chatas Arma, who's quoted, you know, every other Mr. Chuba, really. The Rabbi Yaakov Reich, Gdolei Achronim. So he wrote the Iyun Yaakov on the Iyun Yaakov, and he writes here, he says, really, Marsha's Kasha is not a good Kasha, because the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis. The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayis, says, it's ridiculous to say, you know, censor medical books, you'll have more bitachon. Bitachon means you have to do your shtadlos and have bitachon. You have to do your refu and your shtadlos and have bitachon. So obviously, that's you're not going to say close the medical schools that have more bitachon. No, you have to go to the doctor and have bitachon. So the Rambam says no. The book that Chizkiyo HaMelech confiscated was either a book of dangerous practices and poisons, or it was a book of pagan medical rituals that were usher, but it wasn't regular medicine. Okay, so Iyun Yaakov says no technical kasha. His Yomel was against bad types of medicine, not good types of medicine. And this is a proper type of medicine. This was the cutting edge science of the times. To us, sounds old fashioned, but in their days it was cutting edge science. But Rashi has a radically different approach to the Rambam. Rashi says, no, medicine's bad, you should have bitachon. So the Marsha has good technical kasha in our Gemara. If medicine's bad, you should have bitachon. How could our Gemara give you how many blots? Almost 2 blots. So the Marsha here answers, he gives a few steps of his. Excuse me. He gives a few steps in his answer here. Let me just find it. He says, what about that? And he answers, it's like Torah Shebal Peh, right? Just like there was a heter right down Torah Shebal Peh, Rashi says, and everyone votes for him in Gittin, actually. Because if it's going to be forgotten, then Eis Lasos Lashem, it overrides the din of Torah Shebal Peh, Yitzhar Rashad, the Kos Fund. Likewise, they were going to be forgotten, because Fiskio figured that the good people would remember Baal Peh, and they would know how to use them without taking away from Bitachon. Once they're going to forget them, then in order to not forget things, it's much to write them down, even if it would be spiritually detrimental. So if that's true about Torah Shebal Peh, it's also true about the Refuos. But then he says, Peni Shtachu, etc. But then he adds something else. He says, and you should see that the Gemara is not missing any chokhmah. And you shouldn't think Chazal didn't know Rifuah. Okay, so he throws in basically two reasons why he was justified to write it. And the Inyan Yaakov says, we don't need a justification for writing it. Medicine's a good thing, like the Rambam. He says, no, medicine's a bad thing, like Rashi. Why don't we write it? Either number one, just so it won't be totally forgotten, because you can use it, you know, as long as you're careful not to take away from Tachon. Or number two, he says the Marsha, and that's the relevant part that quotes here, maybe to teach you that Chachamim knew Refuah, to teach you the godless of the Chachamim, they even knew Refuah. Now, give me a second. Maybe I could take this, just from a slightly different angle, meaning why is it important to know these parts of the Gemara? Maybe not to teach the godless of the Chachamim, but to teach you the Hashkafa of the Chachamim. And, you know, I don't think it's that much on that, but I think maybe it's Bechlal Dvarav. There's value in seeing how Chazal related to issues of health and birth and science of their times, because it teaches you the hashkafic importance of Refuah and how much Chazal were matching it. And then what are important things for us in the realm of outside of Dalet Amos of Halacha, what is important for us? So you'll see, well, how much time did Chazal spend, how many dafim did they spend giving you advice how to make money? It's in the Gemara, but only a couple lines here, a couple lines there. How many dafim did they spend giving you advice on medicine, et cetera, et cetera. You can see the values of Chazal from what they spent their time on, and maybe there is a lesson to be learned from the fact that it's in the Gemara, because it teaches you the values of Hashkafa of Chazal. Maybe I can stick that into the Ayel Sashachar. How to become a Chesed Shel Torah if you're not going to say just Stam Chalos? Maybe you give a Chesed Shel Torah, because after all, when they wrote the Gemara, right, Ravina, Ravashi, whoever wrote the Gemara, decided what to put in the Gemara, what not to put in the Gemara. Right? What mechanism they used. They sit down, they were meeting about it, I don't know. But somehow the collective wisdom of Chazal decided what goes in the Gemara, what doesn't. You can imagine that not everything ever said by a Tana or an Amora, not everything ever said by a Tana made it into the Mishnah, that's what we have prices. Not everything ever said by an Amora made it into Shas, obviously. I'm sure that 99% of what was said in the days of the Amora did not make it into Shas. This was, you know, winnowed and selected. So you could learn a lot about, even if the medicine is no longer valid, you could learn a lot about how Chazal thought from what they chose to put in Shas and how they chose to put it in and how much they chose to put in. And maybe that's how you can explain the Chetzah Shel Torah if you don't say, what is the spark why became a Chetzah Shel Torah? So if you don't say, you know, Stam. Just a close Chetzah Shel Torah, which I really am not partial to saying at all. Maybe you could say, be the Marsha. Because what does Marsha say? Number one, we don't forget their force. Number two, to teach us something about Chazal. To teach us something about Chazal, even if all the refus here are no longer valid. It still teaches us something about that, the Hashkaf of Chazal, because they didn't put everything in the world into. I know it, everything in the world is in the Gemara, but not in unlimited quantities. Everything wrote in the Gemara, sometimes one line once, and sometimes, obviously, if you're talking about halachas, that's 98% of all the Gemara. If you're talking about things that are not halachas, so some of them get half a line someplace, and some of them get dapa pantapa, and we're meant to learn something from that. So maybe you can learn hashkafa from the attention Chazal paid to Refuah, and maybe that's how it's a Chetzah Shel Torah. And maybe that's a reason why it's worth learning it, even if it's not valid. He also points out here, he says another shot. He says, you never know when you can do Halacha L'maisa, even from a Refuah that's not valid. Even from a Refuah that's not valid. So, you know, you can often deduce Halacha L'maisa from refuos, even if they are not or no longer valid. Why? Because in the discussion of refuos, Chazal might stick in a look of life, and he gave an example of this. He said that an interesting question came up through Shlomo Zalman, and he brought a raya from the Samtes and Beis at the top. This is a classic question. If someone is in pain, if someone is suffering, can you give them? Now, one could argue whether he has the, whether you use his deer or not, but that was an example. The classic question, if someone is suffering, can you give them treatment to ease their suffering that will endanger them or shorten their life? Right? Interesting question. So, for example, you know, let's say there are people who are suffering very, very ill or suffering very much. You give them morphine, it will relieve their suffering, but it will endanger their life. So, what should you do? So, he quotes the Rosh Hashanah of Orbach, who is someone also Mishpacha. Says you can. And then he brings a raya from the top of Samartesim's base. He has a whole discussion of what if someone where did this start? This is in the middle of this long discussion of the guy who has some sort of infection in his throat and how do you cure it. By the time you get to Samartes on the base, in the third line, it says, V'ilo, if you can't do the other option, Lase nafki de kal b'chibra, take excrement of a white dog, benigvol be natfa, and eat it with some, I used to know the English word for it. No, Nakfa is Rosh, sorry. Something. But you should really try as much as possible not to do the other option and not to eat excrement, not just because it doesn't seem appealing to us. Because it makes your bones come out. So he quotes there that, that sounds like sakana. It's dangerous to take a chance on your bones falling apart, and you should try to avoid this danger. You should try to avoid it, but if you need to, you can. You know, you read this door, if you're suffering, if you're in pain, so you can do this, take this dangerous medicine, although it's better to avoid if you can find another option. So what we see, that if you're suffering, it's okay to take medicine that's dangerous to relieve your suffering, and you don't have to say preserve life at all costs. So he says, this is an example of how, even though we're not going to do any of these reforms nowadays, but from the agav, the tangents, and the diukim, you can learn all of the mice that would apply to medicine for valid maladies.
You want to do that with Gemara? That doesn't bother you at all? That's for make a deal from something that's talking about refuos.
I understand if they had one medicine that had one bad effect and one good effect and they judge it was worthwhile, then if we have a different medicine that has the same bad effect and same good effect, then we should also know whether it's worthwhile. It seems like a valid deal. Again, if you want, you can go through the Gemara and say, no, I have a different shot. But fundamentally, of course, it's right. The question thing's right. So therefore, now, in terms of the Yel Sashachar, what do we mean once the Shas comes back to Shal Torah? Maybe he meant Stam, it's just a Chalos with no reason behind it. But it could be that there are rational reasons why it becomes a Chatzal Torah once it is in Shas, either because we teach you Hashkafa, even if it's not valid medically, or because even though it's not valid medically, whenever they bring the medicine, they also make Halacha L'maisa assumption that you can be Medayik here and there, and therefore you always have to check. If you can Medayik any Halacha L'maisa, assumption. So basically, the Rugged Shaver says a chetzi shel Torah because halacha l'maisa, that becomes very difficult when it's not halacha l'maisa. Even if it's not halacha l'maisa, we can justify it either based on the fact that it's in Shas teaching us things, or based on some hidden meaning. Even though I personally have not been zocha to deduce it, I don't know if the Masipta gives us hidden metaphorical meanings for other words or not.
Would be like the first thing in that would they understand that if you want, let's say, learning Targum's words, but doesn't speak Arabic, is there value in reading those words? Or would that apply these arguments by their?
That is a fascinating question. I mean, that would come back a little bit to this shot I didn't like, Me'ayel Sashachar. That maybe just whatever's a chetzah shel Torah has status automatically regardless. You know, theoretically, someone could say, I don't like that shot in the first place. And who says it applies to Targum Onkelos? Theoretically, someone could say, no, Targum Onkelos is chetzah shel Torah, and therefore it has status regardless of whether you understand it. I'm sure there's someone out there who says that. But I find it, you know, hard to believe. Now, okay, Ashishiva Bacher, so we understand Targum Onkelos because we understand Aramaic. It's not such a question. But those who, you know, don't understand Aramaic, it's hard for me to imagine there's a Talmud Torah value in reading Targum Onkelos if you don't understand Aramaic. Hard for me to imagine.
Simon
Again, if you say it becomes the Chetzah Shel Torah, either the only way to justify that would be either become the Chetzah Torah Stam, in which case you could ask that applies to the Simanim or not, maybe the Simanim were meant to be part of Shas, or maybe it has a deep mystical meaning. You should know all of the Mepharshim who interpret things metaphorically, whenever there's a Simon, they have a part. You think the Simon and Shas is just before they wrote it down a way to remember anything? No, every Simon and Shas is not style, it is teaching you some amkus and philosophy. So I think for sure the Ben Yoyada, and maybe even people who don't agree with them, Rav Rufus, would say, now the Simonim have deep mystical meaning. Again, maybe that means you're trying to figure it out, but at least you should read it to like keep up with the Sora, or maybe, but you know, it might be a little less likely. Right, we also don't know where the Simonim came from. Like, are those from the second people who wrote the rest of the Gemara or not? I have no idea. Someone probably knows, but not me.
So, there, what about like a doubling? It's like there's in some Sidurim these days, on translating, then better to read the Hebrew and understand what you're saying, or is it better to see the book on with the value?
Yom Purkan and some other things is one of these funny things in Jewish history that they apparently first wrote in Aramaic because they wanted everyone to understand it, because everyone understood Aramaic and not Hebrew. And then all of a sudden, okay, then we went to Golos and didn't understand either. And now we're back in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we understand Hebrew and not everyone understands Aramaic. So it's a little backwards of the original intention. We're not going to discuss this now. By all logic, of course, it's a Dover Pasha that, by all logic, you should say you can work on Hebrew nowadays instead of Aramaic. But, there's a big but here, this gets into some meta-halach issues of, you know, the fact that changing liturgy was a very, very big issue from the early dates of Reform, ad hayom hazdeh. And, you know, without getting into, I have no idea what any of the Hasidim say about the special but even just on a rational level, you know, there are meta halachic reasons to be wary of changing liturgy, because, you know, ad hayom hazeh, that is a very, very big issue. And really, you know, how do we justify our minhag, say, come work on Aramaic, especially in Israel, where everyone understands Hebrew, they don't understand Aramaic? The answer is it would be better out davening to say it in Hebrew nowadays instead of Aramaic. But nonetheless, we sacrifice that because it would be better, because it would be problematic to start changing the liturgy, because in our contemporary world, I guess that would open a Pandora's box. Everyone could. That's not our topic now. If you eat that Pirusha Zogmor, you can talk about it from now until...
I'm just going to ask theoretically about like a slippery slope, but then not having demonstrated this. Like, just the fact that when you open the door, I mean, there's a lot of utility saying no. There's like these 8 weeks, and you can't understand. It's like it's good enough, but because when you open the door, it's like what happened to our mission about shaded? What happened to all the sugyas that are based off things that they give the reasons for? And we're like, no, those are definitely not reasons anymore. And we have to just about that. We have kind of like thin line.
And whoever loves the things, and economy, this gets very tricky. Meaning, let's go, you know, A, you turn the Bible Torah, but it turns the Halacha. If you hold like the Rambam, like the Shurgo, like the Golgam and the Rambam, etc., that Chazal's science was, they did what they were supposed to do, which is use the best science available to them, but that doesn't make it scientifically correct. Their science is underdeveloped. Then you open a Pandora's box and have it all of shots. You know, should we visit things based on modern science? And where do you draw the line between, you know, science and fads, you know, et cetera? And if that means a challenge, even according to Tosos, it's also a challenge. If things change in Teva, then you end up with almost the same challenge after all. Even if they're 100% right. According to the Maharil, it's not so bad. No, they were always right. If there's ever any halachas, we don't change them. Because halachas, we understand. It's only things we don't understand that we can't do. But once they make it to halacha, if you understand the halacha, you're safe. So it does create a challenge. But, you know, that's not my fault. That's the way the world works, and we have to deal with it. Okay, but I want to just move on a little. I want to read a little more Gemara, and then get to another interesting question. Yes.
The Rambam, when people are facing the sun screaming out from the pit to give a get to the way that it's a chain, and that means overleaning to one of them, would they prefer to like go with that more like rational reason, like more likely to be a rival wife if you don't cheat him? And then like, ooh.
Yeah, I think.
Rambam,
I mean, that's why the Mihiri said it wasn't really cheating him, if you remember the time we mentioned. And that's why the Rambam, I mean, if you remember, the Rambam has an unclear formulation that they'll parse it whatever they want, but he certainly did not explicitly bring down the Shadim part, even though the Gosma Monios wanted to read it that way. Let's go on a little. Gemara. The Gemara says, Librukti. How about Brukti, which is some sort of cataract or something? Lacey Akramat, Shev Chomre, Mamdaf Samach Tes, Shev Chomre. A seven-striped scorpion, the Yabshi Betula, and dry it out in the shade, meaning dry it out, but not too hot, then that would ruin it. And not in the sun. Vinishkok tarti manta kuchla v'chad manta bine, and grind it up and have two-thirds of the regular eye salve, that medicine, and one-third of this ground up scorpion. The limne plus a machle behayan and plus machle hayan, and they had like, what's the word for machle? Like, women still put on eye makeup. No, they there's this little stick. This little stick they stick into it and then they put on their eye. There must be a word for it. Mascara is not the stick. No, that's the makeup. Whatever. You take the stick and you put it three times on one eye and three times on that eye. It's fable limne. Don't put more than that in your eye. You don't fucking, you know, because if you don't listen to this, you can do much. Your eye will explode, will break, will fall out, probably. Now, interestingly, there is halacha l'maisa for this. What's halacha? What is halachically interesting about this? Actually, not this one yet, because here it is. This one's not interesting yet, because then Akram's not also around. No, so you can put it in your eye. Sorry, that comes up a little later. Let's go on. The Shvira Delalia, night blindness, Nesi Shudra Barka, take a rope made of tails. Made of threads from the tails of animals, the nasir chadikra, meaning the chadikra, mikalba, and tie one end to you and the other end to a dog, so you have a dog tied to you. Venidrafu, yunuke, chaspa, basre, and the kids should make noise, banging pieces of pottery behind him, and they should say to him, asa kalba, asa tarnagola, and they should say to him this incantation. Asa kalba achsa tarnagola. Okay, it's just an incantation, but I think it means the dog is old and the chicken is crazy. Again, it's obviously the chicken and something's doing something. The ligvi sheva umtsi mishur bati, take 7 pieces of meat to every house, let's finally leave it to a Dutch and put it in the hole where the peg of the door. You know, in those days, they didn't have hinges like in our days. How did hinges work? Every door had a little spit sticking out the top and the bottom. There was a hole on the floor and a hole in the lintel, and they would sort of stick it in. So you stick it in that hole. The nechle we call kula demasin, eat it at the town dump. Balsar, who lifts a shudraka, then take off that robe for name Rahak and say this Shafri deploying Rapalisa, Shafkin deploying Rapalisa, Valid Rulik Kalba, Vesa, De Ene, the blindness of, and you have to say your own name, should leave, say your own name, and go mess with the dog and the pupil of his. Of his eye, the shvurit yamora day blindness, leishi shavasumki migava whatever it is. You should take 7 spleens from inside the animals. Obviously, 7 animals. If binu a chatzpan, roast them on a chatzpan de umna, which is normally sort of roast on the pottery of the bloodletter that held the blood. The lay save ihu migavai bin shafin avai. You sit inside, other people sit outside. Neimra le avira havli de eichel. And they should say, blind person, give me food to eat. Neimra le hey, psicha sav eichel. And he should say, sighted person, sit and eat. Bust off a little bit of chaspa, and then it'll be cured. And afterwards, break the pottery. Lo hadru le. If not, if you don't break the pottery, you will get it. You will get it back again. So now here already, let's stop here. Rashi says something interesting here. Rashi di Ramaskal bit Yomru says Yomru lachashdeh, and you should say an incantation, right? Obviously, you've seen that a lot of things in the Gemara and some things later on in the Gemara are going to be incantations. So some of the Achronim ask a stira between this and Rashi in Masech Shabbos. I don't think it's such a good stira. But Rashi in Maseches Shabbos says, Daf Tzadi Zayin, the Gemara has a whole discussion. That's the main sugya of Darkei Ha'amori, of superstition that's usher. And there's even the Pirkei De'amori. There's 2 prakim, Tosefta and Maseches Shabbos.
I don't know. I don't think we have the Tosefta.
Yeah, look at that. We have Tosefta here, 2 prakim, Tosefta and Maseches Shabbos, which are all about things that are usher because of Darkei Mori, Eilud Zvarmi, Darkei Ha'amori, all of Perek Zion, and I think all of Perek Pes, they really go to town on all the things that are Darkei Ha'amori. Now, the Gemara there is a whole discussion. What's Darkei Ha'amori? What isn't Darkei Ha'amori? And the Gemara says, what seems to be this. Gonna buy for Abba Darvish Harbayim, Kol Darvish Yishma Shubarpua, Ein Bo Mishim Darkei Ha'amori. They were dying. Ein Bo Mishim Darkei Ha'amori, Yishma Shim Darkei Ha'amori. Deal. Right, Rafu is not Darkei Ha'amori, but other things are Darkei Ha'amori. Darkei Ha'amori means a lot. People say have low saline. And what does Rashi say there? She gave from Shrapua, she nirais Rafu also. You can see how it feels. Don't she has cooks like drinking potion, betach potion makan, and bandaging a wound. Some bits on their floor, you go on lachash, like an incantation. There's no way you see that has healing power. Right? Could this be? And then they ask Kashas, they say there was 1 second some like superstitious kind of thing they used to do that if all the fruits fall off your tree before they grow and it's terrible, then you paint it with red paint. Paint it with red paint. How is that refuah? How does red paint heal a tree? It doesn't seem to make any sense. It really does make sense because really it's just an announcement to the rabbin that your orchard is failing you and that you're losing your parnasa. And they darshan from a pasuk that if someone has saros, they should inform the rabbin and then the rabbin will daven for him and that will help. And therefore, that's very rational. Davening is rational because that's not a superstition argument for you. Because that would be shit. That's a rational thing to do. And therefore, the red paint is just a simon for other people to daven, and therefore it's not Darkei Ha'amori, and then they go on.
Doesn't this maybe answer the question that if it's true and it works, it's not? It kind of sounds like, it can be some superstitious madness that Christians, but it works for Rafua.
Ah, so let's see what that means. Rashi says, Rafua means we see how it works in Nicker, right? Rashi says, Rafua means something that makes sense that it works. As opposed to a lachash, an incantation, that doesn't make sense. According to Rashi, then all incantations should be asur mishum Darkei Ha'amori. They all say, but why does Rashi here say? I mean, is that really Rashi? Mark, right? Just Rashi says lachash. Rashi in our Gemara says this is an incantation. He used the same word here that he used there. if every incantation is an Isra of Darkie and Mori, then how does it make sense? Then how is it Mutter? Okay, I don't think that's a very good kasha on Rashi, I must admit, because there's a stira mela in Rashi. That's what Rashi says in the Sechah Shabbos of Sam Zayin. But if you look at the handy dandy Masoras Hashas on a Vayv Rav Adamri Tarvayu Kolavish Yishmoshu Rufu Enmosh Darki Amori, on the side it says Chulanayin Zayin or Vayz. Okay, so if we go to Chulan Ayin Zayin, Rashi there says Alachash is Darki Amori, which means the next of the Raisa. So how come Rashi here says Alachash is something that I want you to do, something that I'll recommend? How can Zal recommend something which is Alachash if Alachash is the Raisa Darki Amori? It's a good kasha. And that's why all the Rishonim reject Rashi here.
But these things were all public, like they're walking out with the dog. Con used to say, red, like people will have Rosh Bonas up here.
Yeah, but he also says a lot, right? Maybe the dog you could say is people have requested a prayer for, but then why does he have to say Asakalba Achza Tarakola? Right? Why does he have to say that? That's what Rashi calls a lachash, and then all the other things here. So the Rashi in the Weinzaiman base quotes the same thing. I've read in the right called Darmashish Mishnah before Ingram Shidarki Amori, and has a lot of the and then has the same thing of the tree that loses its fruits. And Rashi there says, "Yes, from Rishon Rafua, you know, Mashke Osam Olachash Shaloche Shalamaka." There, Rashi says, "What's Rafua? A medicine or an incantation? That's Rafua." So there, Rashi says, "Lachash is Rafua." So what's not Rafua? Like what's Usher? Ain't from Rishon Rafua, you know, Shalosin Shalalacholi. Someone's not sick. Superstitions when you're not sick. From Kavur Shalya Parshas Drachim, like people said, if you give birth, you should bury the placenta, the afterbirth, in the crossroads. Kayotzer Mishadom Lenifash, which seem like sorcery. So basically, there's a Stephen Rashi on a Bhagavata. Is a lachash an example of something that's not Rafua? Why? Because it's that nicker that it heals. Or is a lachash an example of something that is Rafua? So I'm not sure how the Rambam will solve the problem with Rashi. No, I don't think so. I don't think it's what Rashi means. I think the answer is very passionate. I don't think it's really Stira and Rashi. I think the answer is that Rashi and Shabbos, all the Rishonim and Shabbos go nuts on Rashi and say he's wrong. How could he say that? After all, besides the fact that Rashi himself had a pool and said Alachash is the mother things, because for Rafua, on all of Shas you have incantations. And you can't say it's all the what? Of Shasta, the old book, we should also predict us many other places. That's all the Telemus, but it's a rice dark memory. Hard to imagine. But I think it's really not a kasha in the first place because I think that Rashi and Shabbos is only Lafia Havakina. Rashi is interpreting a Bayan Rabba Lafia Havakina. Why do I say that? Because then the Gemara says later on that here's a part of the Gemara Shabbos that's not in Chulun. Right? It's the same thing in Chulun about the trees. And then it says, Tana Paragamo Roi Kamed Rokhi Maravin. Tana taught, Tana, someone who memorized Bryce's, taught the curve that Amorai, meaning the two prophets of Sefta, Darki Amori, in front of Kiyam Maravin. I'm like, who is Rishi Darki Amori? Yeah, everything in these prophets is from Darki Amori, Levar Mehani, except for these. You know what's not Darki Amori? Mishishal Etzim Brono, someone who's got choked the bone in his throat, made in the Osamin, brings the same type of food. I mean, if you have chicken bone in your throat, you bring chicken. And put it on your head. You say this incantation, and Rashi says, lachashu. It's a lachash. And that's not dark emori. It's a fishbone, lemahachi. Then you say a different incantation. Shaya. Okay. So basically, Rashi says later on in the Sugan Shabbos that, oh, you know, it's not Dark Emory, this incantation. Lachashem. So obviously, there's no steering Rashi. Rashi only was explaining the Havim in the Gemara, they thought that anything that's not logically understood is Dark Emory. But that was only in the Havim. The Maskana, apparently, a Lachash is not Dark Emory. And that's why Rashi and Hulin explained right away to feed the Maskana, because he didn't have this line in the Gemara. He wasn't going to get to it later. This part of the Gemara doesn't appear in Hulin. Rashi and Shabbos interpreted to be the Havamina. And then, by the time he got to the Gemara, he knows they changed their mind, because he says, there's a Lachash, and the Gemara says, Ein bo mishum darkei amori. So obviously, he changed his mind. So nearly his dieting, that was only the Havamina with Rashi, but the Maskana, Rashi had to change his mind, and Hulin interpreted to be Maskana, and that's why there's no steer from all of Shas.
That's exactly the situation with Rami.
So
that may be a special halacha and locha shalom nafa on the basis of the explanation of the Rami.
It's hard for me to imagine that's a Rashi thought. Yeah. He's saying refuah as opposed to lachas, that's not for refuah. Okay, give me a second. The big question with the lachash is, I guess the main question is, what do they mean by darke emori refua, not refua, and does a lachash work? Right? What do they mean, and does a lachash really work? So, does a lachash really work? So, the Rambam is very clear in the Mora that it doesn't work. The Rama is very clear in the Mora that it doesn't work. He says it was a very long parak I put in the that I put in the brackets. He says Mashi Yomer Shumol Mashlo Yigzor So Ionatibia will know if he died. So I'm something that science does not say it works, but it works according to the opinion of the Goyim, who got schools like superstitions. That's the answer of Chukas Akam. Bemesh Yukum Zal Darkei Amori. That's Darkei Amori. They shape Seifei Maisek Mechashim because they are derivatives of sorcery. She normally no hekesh tibi. Anything that's not logical or anything that's not scientific is a type of sorcery. And most of them might say, they just lead you to more sorcery, which leads you to Avodah Zarah. You end up worshiping the Avodas, the Avodas Kochavim. And that's what he meant. To also muster. What do they mean? Refuah? Refuah means like the happening of Rashi. That whatever is scientific is called refuah, is muster. Whatever is unscientific is. Whatever's unscientific is usher. Now the Rambam is a little open-minded in terms of science. He says, but they let you use masmer hatsolo b'shen hashua on Shabbos. I mean, the original kind of Shabbos, what can you walk outside? Only things are medically necessary. The nail from the fellow was crucified, and the fox tooth. He says, how do those work? He says, even though we don't understand them based on our principles of physics, but they did experiments in those days and determined they worked, and that counts as refuah. You can have experimental proofs, even if you don't have a theoretical proof. That's what he says. Whatever is proven to work, so even though you don't know the law, okay. But says the Rambam that basically refuah are proven, and that are scientific, we don't understand everything, but some things still work. There are things that work that we don't understand exactly why. They're still trying to figure out exactly why they work. There are things that work, and there are two things why. but the Rambam thinks refuah means scientific. Whatever is unscientific is usur. If whatever is unscientific, not only whatever is unscientific is usur, whatever is unscientific is not true. Right? What did the Rambam write? That all the kishuf and the nichosh and everything in that's been mentioned in Panach and Shas is all shtos behevel. Tamin ti and Hashem will get by the Rambam says you should be tamin v'das. Rambam says in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, you should be intellectually sound. And you shouldn't believe in all the shtus. You shouldn't believe in anything that's not scientific. Okay, so I'll prove something experimentally, then obviously it's a science that we have to work on. You shouldn't believe in anything unscientific, says the Rambam. So what's the point of lachash, lachashim? What's the point of incantations if they're totally unscientific? What's the point of incantations? So, What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Yud Aleph? What? It's psychological. The Rambam says there's a placebo effect. By the way, okay, if you ever have time when you're too sick to learn Torah, Google placebo effect. It's amazing how strong the placebo effect is. You think you know how strong it is, and you're underestimating. The placebo effect is tremendously powerful. If I give someone something and they really believe it'll cure them, it has a tremendous effect. Why? Because our bodies are controlled by our minds. And, you know, if we're really, we underestimate how much power our thinking has over how we feel. And that's what the Rambam says here. He says, Misha nashko akro go nachash mocho lilcho shal mokam anashif o bilu shabbos. It's mocho go malachash. Even though that seems to be against Hilchos Avodah Zarah, why? In order to calm him and give him psychological strength. Even though it doesn't have any, if it doesn't work, since he's in Takana, they permitted it in order that he not be in distress, in order to give him a psychological remedy. The Meiri in Chulin says the same thing. He says, only things that are foolish mutter, but you know what? But placebo effect counts as refuah, and if someone needs this incantation to calm them down and to make them feel like they're going to get better, then that is, psychology is also part of science, and that is mutter. And the Meiri, that's Meiri in Chulin on that sugya, on the Makoros, I brought the Meiri in Shabbos. As we know, the Meiri generally follows the scientific mahalach of the Rambam. The Meiri in Shabbos says all incantations, all lechashim, are darkei amori because they're not refuah, because they're not scientific. So why did Chazal and Misha Achsel Gedaikos give us a whole page full of incantations if they're darkei amori? Says two reasons. Aleph, lo yisham davar kedai lahatos, ela golem hamoni nikizve anashin, bojitur, etc. Number one, there was nothing dangerous. They made sure not to write any incantations that had any Avodah Zarah or anything else in it, right? Even things that don't look like Avodah Zarah, but that they knew were smart and they could tell, because it means Avodah Zarah, they censored all of those. And there's no Avodah Zarah. There's nothing negative. It's just the shtus of the masses and the old wives' tales, etc. Basheni, what's the second reason? Okay, but that's not yet a justification. That just means it's not pernicious. Not yet a justification. Basheni should be such a hamon boses mabatochos of yanim. Since the masses believe in these things, it would strengthen them. The nymphs of Isada Hergel is artivic Bahem. It is scientific. Placebo effect is scientific, right? If someone really, really, really believes that, you know, I don't know, even nowadays, when I was a kid, no one believed these things in the Western world. Now they start again. Someone really believes that some gemstone will cure them if they, you know, wear it, put it on their stomach or whatever it is, then you should bring in that gemstone. And because if they believe it'll cure them, then that's part of Teva. Psychology is part of Teva. In Mitzada Hergel, because of what they're used to thinking, Azer Tibi Bahem. Now it becomes Teva that it helps them. Aval, Kol Sha'im Liyatla is a term you schooly made Tzad, Vialti Shayna Myron, Vialti Shayna Myron, Vialti Shayna Myron, but whatever does not help in any way, even if it's not a Avodah Zarah, is still an issue of Darkei Amori. Basically, there's a psychological exception to Darkei Amori. Still, she might have thought, no, even for a placebo effect, you can't do Goyish superstitions. No, the answer is placebo effect being considered part of science, and that is mutter.
Difference to how does placebo just doesn't work. Has no toilet that calms him down.
Right, the Rambam says calms him down. The Meiri seems to go a little further. It's Mechati. Then maybe the Meiri intuited more placebo effect. Okay, but the difference is subtle. So let's talk about Lachash.
Specifically with incantation, if someone really built the form, he's going to feel better with it.
That is a great question, because here they say making it sound like maybe it's not within the Isra in the first place. But pork is still within pork. So what about meaning Dakya Mori is defined very sociologically. In fact, pork is defined very violently. So would you say that it's because psychological because nefesh is docha eating pig? Now we do have Mishav so bolos, the last part of the Yoma, that if someone has some dangerous hunger, they can eat even pig. But that's a little different because they're what's wrong with them's hunger. Not that they think that the pig will cure their philosophy. That is a great question. I'm not sure. Maybe the answer is yes, if it's real pigoch nefesh and they really believe it. But I'm not sure. I have to be by it. Says the Raman Raman that ain't a mo'ilim, but it has psychological power. And therefore, that's considered what is the Rambam when you say it means Yesh Bo Mishum Refua, which is not Darkei Amori. And Ein Bo Mishum Refua, which is Darkei Amori. Here it means it is scientific. And here it means there is no scientific basis. So how do we justify any incantations? The answer is psychology is part of science. Psychology is part of science. Nowadays, if you have standard Western people, incantations, fine, it would be because it doesn't help us psychologically. But if you had someone who believes in incantations, then. And this is what Rashi sounds like in the Sechah Shabbos. He says, nicker, like Samim and Tachboshes, or Eino nicker, like a Lachash, which seems to get everything. I think that's what Rashi Nahami. And that's what he felt free to say. That Rashi Nahami was going even further than the Rambam. He was saying, Nahami, any Lachash is also just not scientific. But that's only in the Havami. This only the Havamina Rashi. The Havamina de Gemara, I think, said this is scientific. I don't know if Rashi meant Rashi didn't learn science like the Rambam did, but even nicker, like you see how you see that it works. Versus not scientific, but I think that's only the Havamina. What does it mean? Lamaskana. So Rashi and Chulin has a radical idea. What is Rashi in Chulin, which I assume is also the he holds the Maskana of Sechah Shabbos. I don't want to say Rashi says my Chulin is going to be more Shabbos, more Chulin, but when the end of the Gor Shabbos said, Lachash is winter, Mestama, the Maskana is what he said. He says something very radical. He says that Yeshua Mishabrakua means it's done for medical treatment. Anything for medical treatment is not Darkei Amori. Have nothing with science, with whether it works or anything. Anything medical is not Darkei Amori. What's Darkei Amori? Done for other goals. If it's not, if you're sick, it's automatically not Darkei Amori. Anything to treat a sick person is not Darkei Amori. Darkei Amori is only if it's done like stam for good luck. Or let's say not medical reasons. This Rashi, I think this is a bit of Das Yoch, it's not what the other Shon assumes, right? Done for non-medical reasons. Okay, the truth is that Yesh Ayin, what if you're healthy and you're doing it for medical reasons? What would Rashi say? It's not so clear. It could be that means you're not medical reason. That's not medical treatment. So Rashi seems to think whatever is for preserving health is most good for Darkei Amori. You know what? He apparently thinks Darkei Amori is just doing things for no reason. So if you're sick, then you never know. You should try everything. That's not Darkei Amori. If you're not sick, it's just for good luck. That's already Darkei Amori. What most we should say in a second is the Rashba and the Ran and Rabbeinu Yonah, although they say it a little differently. First of all, what did the Rashba say? The Rashba says, Avada Lachash works.
Avada Lachas works. The Rashba says in many, many places that a Lachas works. For example, in Shabbos, the Rashba in Masechta Shabbos, right there, says, Dafila Lachashim Shigesh Ben Mamish Mo'ilan L'Rafua. Right? They have Mamish, they work. A Lachas really works. And why? So in the small short Miuchas Darban, someone said, can you explain to me how it works that Sugya in Shabbos, right? Bracha, sorry. At the end of Bracha, so Barhedya and Abayim Rava, Kol Holchach Harpeh, how what you say affects a dream. And what does the Rashba answer? The Rashba answers, well, are you one of these, Greek philosophers who holds that whatever we don't understand in our Teva is not true? No, no, we Jews hold it as spiritual reality, and words have power, and klolos have power, and brachos have power, and just stam things you say have power, and don't listen to the philosophy. What he says is a great example he always uses. Doesn't speak to the modern person. He says, after all, magnets work, and those aren't scientific. So that proves this virtual reality that we don't understand. And it's not such a good example nowadays. Science understands magnetism. But he says, okay, maybe you would say, you know, it's something science will understand. It's belt. You see, he's not talking simply about spell, but he clearly holds that. Mo'ilan, I assume Rashi holds this as well, even though Rashi doesn't quite say. The Rashba clearly says that they're Mo'el. As a matter of fact, the Rashba in this long tshuva, which is so long, Morty didn't even send it out, Siman Tuf Yud Gimel, says very clearly that we're not Greek, and he thinks the Rambam thinks that only scientific things work. And he says, you know what? I don't know what he's talking about. There's a teva of science, there's a teva of skuli. There's also a science of the hidden side of things. And clearly it's mutter to do refuas, even things that are not scientific, because there's another level of tefa that the Rambam just didn't know about. The Gra, by the way, very famous Gra, railed on the Rambam here, says the Rambam wrote that none of these things work. Anything that's not scientific doesn't work. Says Kalabam Akra Kalabulov, says the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, I am Kofayin Test, but everyone else argued on him. He says, after all, how about the Lachashim? All the incantations of the Gemara, they work. Why are they in the Gemara? Says, you know what happened to the Rambam? Nimshach Achar Philosophia Haru. He followed the accursed philosophy. And that's why he denied the power of incantations. But we all know it's true. Karhiko Sol Karkadu, he says they already hit him on the head enough times. And he goes again and again. He doesn't leave the Rambam alone. He says, Ha Philosophic Tasso. Philosophy misled him. Lefarsha Gemara in a way that's not the Pshat. And of course, everything you have to be Farsha Pshat. And then what he says, as far as I'm concerned, this philosophy, any mamon behemblo mehemblo ayamonam, Ella, what does he say? Everything is true, but there's a pnimius. Lo pnimius shabali philosophia shizorkos ol ashpashin. It's only a cell shabali ms. Everything does have a pnimius in it, but not the pnimius philosophers that Tonius you should be peel off and throw in the garbage. Rather, the pnimius of the bali ms, where he means the shabalim. So he identified a fundamental philosophical divide between other reflection and here. If it's Moe, so what did the Chazal mean by Refua? Doesn't have, what did the Rashba basically saying? The Rashba says, what's your science? If something works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So what does it mean? What does this mean then? So there's different deals. You know, first let's look at the Rush. Says the Rush, this means medicine and Lakashin. Medicine incantations, those are the things that work. Everyone knows that incantations work. Come on, that's science. What if these are not refua? These are actions that are not logical. Basically, what he's saying is he just takes incantations and puts them in the logical science. Everyone knows incantations work. It's only silly actions that don't have refua, but everyone knows incantations work. So says the Rush in Shabbos there of Loni Hirali. Everyone knows Lachash's work. And mine shows a mind save in a Nicker Fua. Only actions like painting red or they give good explanation. But Lachash's work. The Rashba and the Rambam and Yonah say differently. They say it's just a matter of scientific method. Just not scientific method of Rambam that depends on scientifics. Scientific method of experience. Do an experiment. So, what do they say? They say this is anything proven to work, even if we don't know why. We have no scientific explanation, even though Rambam admits that, although not about incantations, there's something that I think with the Rambam, the Rashba that long tshuva says, the Rambam is so sure of self. Anything that's not scientific is usher, and then he says, but if the experiments show that it works, then it works. I think what the Rambam meant is that there's, this is me speaking for the Rambam, there's three levels. There's things that we scientifically understand how they work. Those are mutter. There's things that scientifically make no sense, are impossible to think. You know, like nowadays, the science will tell you, forgetting about placebo effect, if you ask the sciences, does the magnet healing that non-conventional medicine needs to work, the science will tell you, scientifically, it can't work. If you ask the scientists, does chiropractic work? Scientists will say, we don't have any scientific evidence for it, but we don't have evidence against it. Like, it could be, if you press on the right parts of the body, it'll relieve muscle pain and things like that. Like, it's not impossible. We don't have scientific evidence for it. So I think that's what Rambam meant. If there's something like a spell, what? Acupuncture. No, acupuncture. I don't think scientists tell you that acupuncture, forget it, see what that can't work. They're skeptical. But it's not impossible that poking you someplace could relieve pain somewhere. It, in any case, it works with placebo effect. So if anyone asks me if it's worth doing acupuncture, I say, sure, just make sure to believe it. I can't do acupuncture because it's hard to get myself to believe it. But everyone else can. I think what the Rambam means is that there are some things which maybe they could have a scientific basis that we haven't discovered. So if you prove it, it works, and if not, it's not game over. That's like Shin Shel Shul and Masmer Hatzol. Then there are things like incantations, which are bonded, can't work. How can we say it's random gibberish heal someone? That's usur, and we don't even bother to try to prove it. And then there are things we prove it. I think that's what the Rambam means to answer Rambam's kasha. And in Maisa, here is anything proven not to work. And that's what it means. If it proves that it works, then it's mutter. That's science. If it's not science of the eon of the Greek philosopher, then it's science of the school. Anything which is proven not to work is just superstition of the goyim, the machlokas, the Ran brings you the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah. You can find the Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, in Hela Gimel Shari Tshuva. I think it's Oskof Dalad in the one that divided into paragraphs. Yeah. Okay, thank you. But the Ran says there that that's machlokas in Rabbeinu Yonah. And it's in the Masifta. And the, of course, and the Rambam, he says, what about if it's not yet proven either way? Well, it's a new idea. Then Rabbeinu Yonah says it's usher. Nope, until it's proven it's usher. And the Rashba says it is mutter. Okay, there's a lot more to say about Darkei Mori, but not for now. So fascinatingly, the Rush says, only the types of things that make sense. But he puts incantations as a type of thing that obviously makes sense. The Rashba and the Rambam Yonah say, no, it's all a matter of experiment. We don't have any svaras. The Rashba has a svara. He just puts incantation on the other side of the svara as the Rambam. The Rambam has a svara, puts incantation on this side, unless it's psychological. And the Rashi and the Hafnika. The Rashba has a svara, puts incantation on the other side. The Rashba says, don't give me svaras, give me evidence. Data-based medicine, not svara-based medicine. And they only argue until you've proven either way, which way do you go? And Rashi and Kulin is a fascinating shot. He says it has nothing to do with evidence or smart. It just medical purposes are mutter because that's a good reason to do all kinds of things. Non-medical purpose is not a good reason to do all kinds of things. You do it for a good reason, whether it works or not. That's not just following fads of Goyim. That's trying your best. When you do it for no reason, that's following fads of the Goyim. So here we have Svara-based medicine, evidence-based medicine? Or, no. All medicine is mutter, because it has nothing to do with whether it's good medicine or bad medicine. It's just like, if you have a good reason, of course do all the things you can. The answer of Lucas Goyim is just for no reason not to follow fads of the Goyim. Right? Follow fads of the Goyim for no reason. If you have a reason, we don't care if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Everyone else says, no, it needs to be a good idea to follow it. How do you find good ideas? Svara with lachash on one side, svara with lachash on the other side, or evidence-based in every lachash, kolmikrat, lit, vote. Okay, that's basically what we wanted to, most of what we wanted to discuss today. We'll be mashlin, maybe a few details in these sugyas next time. And before we get back to Gittin, we have one more shir before we get back, not that, that's fun too. In Yonah Gittin, I do want to go over the stories and agatas, the contemporary story, and the agata about Shlomo Melech. So for the next shir, maybe we'll add one or two haros about the refuah sugyas, but it's fascinating stories and agatas from Samach Zayin with Beis to Samach Pesach Beis, and I'll send that verse later. If anyone has questions, of course, feel free to ask. Just one second.